What's going on? Zainal here for an impromptu episode of What You Know. Again, without my co-host, Harris, who will hopefully join me on Tuesday, but you never know. I am actually in Florida visiting the parents. But this morning I just figured I would do a quick check-in and leave it at that. So normally I kind of start off with the disclaimer that this is low budget, low tech, low know-how, low quality, unscripted, unedited, because I don't have the material or the know-how to do those things, just a regular dude expressing my thoughts and making observations. Today that's even more the case because the one little piece of technology that I had broke. A little USB microphone, but at some point maybe we'll get a little more sophisticated. Want to go over a couple of news stories, I suppose. I know there's a lot of hysteria over the selection of Trump's Supreme Court nominee. But beyond that, I saw a tweet from some well-known person, but I'm sure a lot of people are putting them out. I would look it up, but it's on the phone and I'm recording. I think Don Lanny. And essentially, he was talking about how break up the union, break up the United States. And said, you know, what did he say? You know, we'll take the blue states, including the Northeast, and so and so. I responded to that with a bit of vitriol. You see, I'm originally from Connecticut, New York metro area. My family was born there. My mom was born, in fact, in New York City. And even though we're all spread out now, some of the near people who are nearest and dearest to my heart live in Connecticut and are not diehard demagogue Marxists. They're just not. So my comparison is to those rebels who wanted to secede from the Union and destroy the country in the 1860s after Abraham Lincoln was elected. I responded to that individual. Let me see if I got his name right. Don Lanny. I think it's Don Lanny. Or Lanny, I don't know. It hardly matters. I responded by calling him a traitor. And here's the thing. I don't doubt that that's what these people want to do. And there was a lot of people that I follow that are conservative that were like, you know, we're not crying over a national divorce. And I get where they're coming from. I've had similar sentiments. And I know that the dissolution of the Republic is a very real possibility. I do. This individual is cavalierly, casually talking about the ruination of lives, the split up of families, and essentially the forced takeover and separation of the Union. I'm torn as someone who believes in states' rights and but I, at the end of the day, I do believe that in American values, I believe in the preservation of the Union. Now, if it came down to the country breaking up and a republic that represented American values remaining, in theory, I could live with that. But here's where we get into some problems. Give you an example. My parents both worked and retired, as my dad in particular, from Connecticut and receives a pension, a well-earned pension. For years as a parole officer. I know that to the left, that automatically makes him a horrible, horrible person. as a parole officer in Connecticut? What if, as this individual said, I'm going to look for his name because now I'm really, I wish I could remember. What if the split up does happen? My parents now live in Florida, and Connecticut becomes a different nation. So not only do they not receive the pension here in Florida, but what about my sister? What about my little brother, my nieces, my nephews, my godson? What about all those people? And there's gotta be, I'm sure, millions of people that are in, his name is Lanny Davis. Lanny Davis posted the tweet. There's gotta be millions of people in the same spot. It's kind of like, in Berlin, when the Berlin Wall went up and you had families that just happened to be a mile apart where that wall went up, and they couldn't see each other, put their hands on each other for 40 years. I'm already worried about that, which is why I made a point to come out and visit my family now, amongst other reasons that don't need to be broadcasted. But I responded to him. Let's see if I can get the whole thread here. And I usually try not to respond in this manner, but I just couldn't help myself. Well, I can't find the original. Here's my response to him saying, we'll take the blue states. Well, this is what we're going to take. Said Lanny at Lanny Davis, you're a traitor and a felon for suggesting the breakup of the union, the ruination of families and America. How dare you? Please understand, you're a thug, and decent, law-abiding Americans don't appreciate such thuggery. You will be held accountable, sir. Take care. My first response, because I responded twice, that one really got me going. I go back to, these people are telling you what they're going to do. They're telling you what they're going to do. They're telling you what their intentions are. And this guy, I think he's someone who has a bit of a following. Let's see. I'm not saying he's all that influential or important, but let's see. I decided to follow him just for that. Yeah, okay. Apparently shows you how much I follow things. Legal crisis manager, author, former White House special counsel, co-founder, law firm Davis, Goldberg, and Galber. Co-founder, public relations firm, Trident DMG. So, but he's followed by diehard leftists. You got Rex Chapman, Chuck Schumer, people like that who follow him, and I'm sure the squad as well. But he only has 66,000 followers, which, it's not like I have that many at 400, I don't have that, 140. And it's not like your followers on Twitter determine really anything. But the mindset of these people, I don't doubt that many that are in power, who are vying for power and who intend to steal power come November, have this exact mindset that this is what they would like to provoke. And it makes me wish I was near my family. So this a story that has been developing here. Everybody who knows me knows I'm bad with names. On September 24, I may have already read part of this, but the headline is Feds, and this is from the Daily Wire, and then I'll get to Google News, the mainstream news. Feds, military ballots discarded in troubling, quote, troubling discovery. All opened ballots were cast for Trump. There's a big surprise, right? So it says federal law enforcement officials have ordered that Luzerne County in Pennsylvania must change its practices after multiple military ballots were found discarded. Out of the military ballots that were discovered to have been opened, all of them have been cast for President Donald Trump. Quote, the FBI has recovered a number of documents relating to military ballots that have been improperly opened by your election staff and had the ballots removed and discarded, or removed and placed separately from the envelope containing confidential voter information and attestation, U.S. Attorney David J. Freed said in a letter to Shelby Wachila, I think I'm pronouncing that right, Director of Elections for Luzerne County Bureau of Elections. Specifically, a total of 9 military ballots were discovered to have been discarded. The letter continued. 7 of those ballots were discovered by investigators were outside of any envelope. Those ballots were all cast for President Donald Trump. So is it an overwhelming amount? Doesn't appear so. But where there's smoke, there's fire. I've been saying it all along for a while. I was putting out tweets like this many number of days until they steal the election. You know, that's absolutely what they're going to do one way or another. Before I go back to the Daily Wire and look at some headlines here, let's just take a quick little gander at the Google News feed that it feeds us. Pelosi says Trump is in a hurry to confirm Barrett so she can invalidate Obamacare. CNN 1 hour ago. Biden says Senate should not act on Amy Coney Barrett's Supreme Court nomination till after the election. Big surprise there. Fox News. Trump's nomination of Amy Coney Barrett in 3 minutes. Washington Post. Let's see if it'll let me. Sometimes it lets me read it. Sometimes it tells me I need to subscribe. And there's, oh, this is a YouTube video. I'm not going to watch that. And there's just no way that I'm subscribing to to the Washington Post. Let's see. Leslie Marshall. On Supreme Court, Amy Coney Barrett would threaten rights of millions of Americans. Opinion piece. Fox News. I'm still confused as to how she would threaten the rights of millions of Americans as a constitutional individual, but let's see what they say. Conservative Judge Amy Coney Barrett, who President Trump nominated Saturday to fill the Supreme Court vacancy created by the death of liberal justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, could play a key role in changing American life for years to come. Yes, this one individual, everything hangs on her. If confirmed by the Senate, Barrett would give conservatives a 6-seat majority on the 9-member court, paving the way for major shifts in Supreme Court rulings on issues including abortion rights, gun rights, gay rights, separation of church and state, and the Affordable Care Act. Abortion rights, so whether, no matter how I feel about it. So everybody just needs to settle down about that. It should go away. It should absolutely go away. I mean, there's just no question it should go away. State-sanctioned killing of the unborn is an outrageous practice. And it is absolutely, I love it when people talk about reproductive rights and they talk about how it's a constitutional right. It's as if they've never, anyway. It's absolutely not a constitutional right. That's ridiculous. Let's look at some of these other issues. Gun rights. Well, we have every right to have our, I don't know what they're talking about here. We have every right to defend ourselves. I'm a firm believer that there should be more law-abiding citizens owning guns. We would have less crime and a more obedient government, less risk of tyranny. Gay rights, they're not going to roll back any of that. They're not going to roll back any of that. Separation of church and state. Well, there's a myth to begin with anyway, whole nother episode for that. And the Affordable Care Act, well, that should go away. But again, I don't think that it will. What the confirmation may do is slow the spread of these Marxist policies. That's about the most that I'm hoping for. But they've made it clear regardless that they're going to stack the court. So I'm not quite sure where the panic is coming from. It says, even if one of the 6 conservative justices sided with liberals on a particular case, as sometimes happens, conservatives could still prevail with 5 remaining votes in split decisions. Barrett could also cast a key vote on cases involving the upcoming presidential election if the Senate confirms her in time and President Trump or former Vice President Joe Biden file lawsuits challenging the election results. Barrett would become the 115th person to serve on the High Court if confirmed, but only the fifth woman. Her appointment would keep three seats in the hands of women, but other than gender, she has little in common with Ginsburg, which is fantastic. Because while Ginsburg was an academic and she was brilliant, there's just no contesting that. She was absolutely extra-constitutional, and she believed her own, I mean, she believed in her convictions, and I'll respect that, but she had no respect for the Constitution or the rule of law. She definitely acted as if she was above that. I haven't read all of her decisions, and it's pretty heavy reading to begin with, but from what I have, this is not a person who respected the Constitution in any form or fashion. At 48, and with only 3 years of experience as a judge on the seventh U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, Barrett is young for a Supreme Court justice and would begin her time on the High Court with less judicial experience than many justices. But her relative youth could enable her to serve on the court a long time. Ginsburg, who died at 87, served 27 years on the Supreme Court and previously served 13 years as a judge on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the U.S. For the District of Columbia. You know, I mean, it goes on to say here that Ginsburg made a lifelong commitment to fight for the underdog. In a sense, I suppose that that's true. I'm not going to take all of that away from her. I guess I'm more focused on the fact that this real issue really doesn't matter nearly as much as people are making it seem like it matters. We've got way bigger issues to worry about. Let's go back to the breakup of the union. This is a real possibility that we face. There is no question about it. This is what these individuals want. And we absolutely, in my opinion, can't let that happen. Can't let that happen. All along, they've been telling us, and they're telling us now with the Supreme Court, that they were going to burn things down. I don't think they're being metaphorical. There's no part of me that thinks that they're speaking in metaphorical terms anymore. Didn't Sean King make it clear that they would burn down churches? Others, and anybody who knows me knows I'm bad with names, but others in the BLM movement have made it very clear that if they don't get what they want, they will burn things down. So they're holding America hostage, as they always say. They're blackmailing America, holding America hostage. And the Democratic political structure is doing that as well. And not so subtly anymore either. You know, when you have Harris saying that the violence will continue, it will not stop after the election. You didn't hear her say, like, it'll stop if we win. She said it's a movement. It'll keep going, which means win or lose. First of all, here's how I actually interpret that. She doesn't intend on losing. And I don't just mean the presidency, but the whole ticket down the line. They intend to take it all. And yet, I love how I'm reading on Twitter how conservatives don't respect the democratic process. Look, if you can go and you can food shop and you can go and you can march and drink out of people's glasses at restaurants like they did in Pittsburgh and terrorize people amidst the pandemic, then you can sure shoot go and vote in person. And even that process, I don't entirely trust. This mail-in ballot process is, not only do I not trust it, I mean, I think it's thievery directly. I think they want you to know. All this nonsense about the U.S. Postal Service being dismantled, and the fact that people fall for this is even scarier. Just looking at Trump, New York Times headline, Trump selects Amy Coney Barrett to fill Ginsburg's seat on the Supreme Court. Amy Coney Barrett won't stand up for women the way Ruth Bader Ginsburg did. I just want to know where the proof of that is. But the bigger issue here is what they say they're going to do Nancy Pelosi, what did she say? We have many arrows in our quiver. We're not ruling anything out. We'll stack the court. I think this is going to get very ugly. And of course, if it gets violent, you can count on them to endorse the violence. You can count on them to raise a fist. You can't count on them to be the voice of reason and tell people to settle down, that we all need to come together, that there are ideals that we share in common, that people who oppose Black Lives Matter organization don't believe that Black lives don't matter. The way they're manipulating language is remarkable. It really is. Let me see if I can find that article on language. It's a very Orwellian thing. And in doing that, they're changing the way you can have an argument or a debate with somebody. It's Orwellian in the truest sense of the word. See, I can't seem to find it. There's a lot of news stories here, but fact and logic don't factor in for these individuals. What most conservatives want is to be left alone. My mom asked me yesterday, she said, as a conservative, what would you say are your defining features? And I think my response was very simple, and it was something to the effect of, I want much smaller government, and I want everyone to have equal opportunity to pursue their own destiny and fail or succeed on their own. Equity of opportunity, not equity of outcome. I want the government to contract, not expand. I want to eliminate the national debt, which poses the gravest threat to our security that I can think of, besides the emboldening of our adversaries and things like that, which, I mean, I guess where I'm at today, on this day where Yom Kippur begins, Day of Atonement, is that I am just blown away that there are people who want to watch the country dissolve and burn. I feel the way I felt, I forget when it was, maybe about a year ago, when Beto O'Rourke greeted several migrants, people who had come to the border illegally, I think, but still come to the border, risk their lives to do so, because America is a great country, and said to them, and went on a spiel about how they had just arrived at a racist, horrible country. That's what you say to a group of people who, A, you're defending to get into the country. Why disparage it like that? And B, who risked their lives and traveled thousands of miles to get here. Dennis Prager, in his latest fireside chat, talked about the 3 million immigrants from Africa who have come here. If America is such a horribly, virulently racist country with no opportunity, why did they go through the laborious process of coming here and getting citizenship? And then, in most cases, they're doing quite well. There's something else nefarious going on here. You know, I was out to dinner with my mom last night, and I asked her what her parents from the Greatest Generation would have thought of what's going on now. They would be heartbroken to see their dream coming apart in only a couple of generations. And my mom also said, I don't want to be alive to watch the country fall apart and dissolve. So to all you people out there who are advocating for that, I have the same vitriol for you that I had for Lanny Davis. Whether you're conservative or not, I understand if you're conservative why, you know, it's, I fantasize sometimes too about just seceding from the Union. But in a federation where we have free movement between the states, it's not as cut and dry as you might think. We're talking about the complete ruination of lives. And not just some, millions upon millions upon millions upon millions. Heartbreak, devastation. But then again, these people want to destroy the family anyway, so why wouldn't this just be like, you know, one extra step? I'm not talking about conservatives here, obviously. I'm talking about the Marxists. Conservatives respond that way, you know, because we're sick of all the crap. But I can't be the only conservative that has family all over. And yes, I made the choice to move. We all made the choice to move, but we did so because it's a free country where you have freedom of movement between the states, as written in the Constitution. This union is not dissolving. I would put my life on the line for it. Before I go, see if this article will pull up. Ben Shapiro. Democrats threaten to burn down the Republic to stack the Supreme Court. By Ben Shapiro, September 23, 2020. Last week, I hate it when the page does that, it moves. Last week, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg died at the age of 87. Her death immediately initiated a political firestorm in Washington, D.C., one that threatens the very integrity of the Republic. That's not because, as the media and Democrats would claim, some sort of institutional norm has been violated by a Republican president, a replacement for Ginsburg to be voted on by a Republican Senate. It's because the Democrats have declared that that so long as they are unable to replace Ginsburg with an activist left-wing judge willing to use the Constitution to cram down progressive policy prescriptions, they will tear down every barrier to majoritarian tyranny. The Constitution was specifically constructed to promote gridlock. That's because the Founding Fathers greatly feared majoritarian tyranny, legalized mob rule by which simple majorities could cram down violations of rights on minorities. To that end, they balanced the House of Representatives, which was popularly elected, and the Senate, which was represented by state and selected by state legislatures. They balanced the legislative branch with the executive and judicial branches. They balanced the power between a federal structure and state governments. The founders believed that the greatest protection for individual rights lay in ambition checking ambition at every level. Progressives have, since the beginning of the 20th century, objected to this philosophy of government. Instead, they have an institutional gridlock as an institutional gridlock as a danger to getting things done. Former President Woodrow Wilson, one of your great progressives and a virulent racist, infamously explained that, quote, men as communities are supreme over men as individuals, end quote, and that, therefore, there ought to be no institutional checks against governmental necessity. Democrats have faithfully carried forward that vision, checked only by political reality. Wilson unconstitutionally expanded the executive branch. Franklin Roosevelt infamously sought to pack the Supreme Court. Lyndon Johnson radically expanded the size and scope of federal government. Barack Obama declared that government itself, quote, is us. Again, the mobs. That meant that for the political left, all institutions of government had to be converted into instruments of power or be destroyed. The left has done just that with the Supreme Court for generations, viewing it as a repository for transformational change rather than a legal body with a mandate only to interpret honestly the words of law. With that view of the court threatened by a Republican-appointed majority, Democrats are now panicking. And they are responding with radical threats to break every check and balance. This week, Democrats openly threatened to destroy the Senate filibuster, a traditional mechanism for restraining bare majorities. most recently used by Democrats themselves to stymie COVID-19 relief funding. They also threatened to add new states to the union, which is insane that they're doing that just for power, but nobody cares. Nobody cares. Specifically citing federal territories they believe will elect Democrats and to pack the Supreme Court, reestablishing a Democratic appointment, adding new seats. Don't forget that means new senators as well, which is what they want, a unitary rule. These actions aren't merely violative of constitutional principles and the founding philosophy. They are dangerous. Imagine a 55-vote Democratic majority and a 104-seat body cramming through a gun confiscation measure, which they will, by the way, greenlit by a 13-member court packed by Democrats. Will red states simply acquiesce to this and overt seizure of power, to this absurd rewriting of the constitutional bargain? Why would they? All of which means that the 2020 presidential race has now become a referendum on the Democrats, not on President Donald Trump. Democratic candidate Joe Biden's inherent campaign pledge was to a return to stability, not a leap into revolution. But by threatening the institutional architecture, Biden's campaign has become just that. Now Americans will be forced to choose between the vulgarity of Donald Trump, a vulgarity and boorishness, however off-putting, that has not threatened constitutional rights, and a vengeful Democratic Party threatening to remold the country from the top down. And that's just it right there. When people talk about Donald Trump threatening this or threatening that or being a dictator, what they're talking about is his vulgarity, his boorishness, and his propensity to be really immature and be impulsive on Twitter, which I agree is ridiculous. But he's been, at least on its face, very constitutional. There's no doubt about it. Doesn't mean that as an individual, I necessarily love the man, but I do support him and I will vote for him. There's just no question about it. He stands between us and dictatorship. Either way, we're moving in that direction. The forces at play are much more powerful than Donald Trump. But I believe that he knows that and he's doing whatever he can in the meantime. What these people want, what they have in store for us, you only have to watch or read Brave New World. I watched The Giver with my dad yesterday. You know, the book was great, the movie more like 2.5 or 3 stars. But the point is generally that they erase feelings, they erase the family unit, they erase all memory of the past, they recreate history, and the elders at the top tell you what's best. It may sound radical, and you're like, that's just a movie, it's not even, don't even worry about it. That's very much what they have in store for us. Everybody's taken care of, everybody has a dwelling, everybody is assigned a position, nobody goes hungry, you know, it's all great, right? Except for you have no freedom. You have absolutely no freedom. And so what I see in Donald Trump is the ability of us to hold that at bay, the progression of that at bay, just a little bit longer while we figure out what we're going to do to counter it and to try to never let that happen. If the Democrats get their wish, which I believe that they will, and that process isn't slowed, well, I have no words for how bad that will be. I really don't. All I can tell you is that it will be bad. Until next time, everybody, take care and remember you can only go with what you know. We don't know much.